live from the penthouse, 300 floor, overlooking Atlantic Station. It's the Sports Roundtable.
Nigga, if they mention two piece around me, it's Popeye.
You go back and you just watch that. He's not the most eloquent person you ever met.
Y'all already know, Team Peyton Manning all day. Go Broncos. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, we Memphis boys step out by ourselves.
20 years ago, we had Johnny Cash, Bob Hope, and Steve Jobs. Today, we have no Cash, no Hope, and no Jobs.
You're now listening to the Sports Roundtable.
What up, what up, what up? It's the Sports Roundtable, live from the penthouse, 300 floor overlooking Atlantic Station. It's the SRT crew, episode number 31. And we are live in the penthouse tonight with two special guests in the building, dressing our corporate swaggish as they look beautiful in the penthouse. And of course, I got my crew hanging with me. To my immediate right, Mr. Bama D. Will. What up?
Yes, sir. What's happening?
And of course, I got the sports superhero, Mr. Hancock. What up, homie?
What's up, homeboy? Let's get this.
Yes, sir. And I got the diamond of the crew. If you wear diamonds and you wear Tiffany Jewelry, baby, she's in the building. The Jewel of Sports.
What up, big ho? The Jewel of Sports is in the building.
And of course, new format, new project, new show coming up, the Slick Money Show. Let me get it for the girls. Get it. Mr. Slick Money in the building. What up?
What up, kinfolk? I don't have to say it now because you said it.
But they like it when you say it.
Okay, I said for all my Envy boys, they get their paychecks to the girls.
Coming up Friday.
Yeah, because they know the girls going to give it to them. D-Will, if mama don't get that check, you don't get nothing. I know that hurts your soul. But what up to the penthouse? Madison is in. Baby Matt is in the penthouse, y'all. She's in the penthouse relaxing on the big screen, kicking her feet up, listening to the show.
What up, Maddie?
What's up, what Maddie? Up? We got two beautiful women. You know, it's amazing. Every week we have some fine sisters in the show. I don't tell you, I don't know what to do. I think we done hit the lottery. The Slick Money. Steve, the SIT crew get finer and finer women every week.
It is.
Even the Jewel of Sport got some tight clothes on.
Stop the madness.
Fellas, if you can see the Jewel right now, why watch Kim Kardashian and you got the Jewel right here?
You amen.
I'm right telling you, these clothes look like her little sister clothes she got on.
No, it's just a shirt.
Got the push up bra on, got the push up bra on, got the hip huggers.
You starting already.
She got the hip huggers. Got the little bit of waistline. I mean, you sexy now. Don't get it wrong. You don't get
appreciate
it twisted.
That. Appreciate that.
And I read your Facebook page.
What?
What you read, dog?
I read on Facebook page that Tiffany has a new boo.
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 Talk about it.
Yeah, and if you do, I want to congratulate you on the new boo.
Thank you.
Because everybody deserves somebody.
Thanks.
Because I was hoping by the time the Slick Money Show starts, if you didn't have nobody, the producer here to my, that'd be my right, Mr. Horace, we were going to find you a man. Because a woman like you shouldn't waste anything.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this with Slick Money. Thank y'all for coming to the penthouse.
She's like, please move on.
Yes, please. Exactly. Like, please.
Tonight in the penthouse, ladies and gentlemen, we got special guests, a.k.a. Clark Alum.
Skiwee.
You know.
Shout out to CAU. That's my alum. That's my alumni, too.
Skiwee.
My wife, a.k.a.
Your wife is a.k.a.? Skiwee.
And she's a Jack and Jill.
Yeah,
she's all in the Jack and
she's
Jill.
She's in all of them.
I was a Jack and Jill back in junior high.
Shit, you
14 years
your
old.
Your ass gay.
Hey, damn, I had the baddest chick there.
Calm down.
He got a My Buddy Dog. He was in the AKA Association. Really, D. Weir? And you like Bama? Seriously? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
That's pimping.
Man, can I tell the people who's in the house?
I'm sorry.
We're real comfortable with this feminist.
Yeah, boy. Y'all went in Jack and Jill?
Nah.
Hell no.
Only thing I knew about Jack and Jill, they went up to here.
And that's what we did. Yeah.
I thought Jack and Jill was just all females.
Nah.
I apologize.
I truly apologize.
How did Jack? I thought Jack was Jill.
I thought Boy Scout was for dudes.
Oh, I ain't do no. That's gay.
Damn.
But carrying around my butt down, it's not. But I thought at Boy Scouts, like, you learn how to do man stuff.
Hey, y'all talking like I used to walk around with them on my hip.
You probably did.
Like my little ghetto girls.
We saw it big.
Your my buddy has some Converse or Nikes.
Nah, he had on Air Force One.
Now I can see if you had him, you doing wrestling moves on his ass.
What? Nigga, I used to be power driving.
That's
him.
What I'm talking about. Yeah. Well, he should be tore up.
Oh. He got a couple holes, but you know.
They cloudy. You see what's happening?
I'm just saying. My buddy's Jack and Jill. It's all good, though, baby.
Jack and Jill was the thing. I'm telling you.
Okay, I apologize, man. Go ahead.
All right,
ain't nobody else say nothing bad. Hey. I bet you that.
I heard
SIT
that.
Got your back. Jack and Jill, big wheels. No.
Exactly. Hey,
can you finish Janice's resume, please?
Oh, go ahead,
yes,
man.
I'm sorry. AKA Clark alum.
Clark alum.
CAUA. Yes.
And I think she graduated top in the class or something like that.
Whoa.
At least she looked like she graduated.
That was at Clark?
Yes.
CAUA.
Wow. That's your school too?
That's my school too, baby.
Damn. ACU in the house.
Yes.
ACU in the house. Miss Janice Moore in the building, baby.
Is that all her credentials? Did she go undergrad?
I will let her.
Oh, you let her talk. Okay, cool.
Let her talk. But when she come to the mic.
Tall, we'll get hey, her, let we'll let get the listener know she's a tall drink of water, Horace.
She's a tall drink of water. Lady.
Yes, Lord. That's slang. Remember that slang, Steve? That,
yes.
That's how to climb up on that and just drink all that water. Yes, sir.
And we also have a loyal listener in the building that's come to reveal herself.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yes. She got so many compliments on the interview.
She inside our head, man.
Yeah, she's pretty good. Yeah, she is.
She's, she wanted to come and actually be a part of the family and see how we get down. Wow. Miss Teresa Kears is in the house.
Thank you so much, Teresa. Welcome. Miss Janice and Miss Teresa, so glad to have you on the penthouse.
Yes, welcome.
So tonight, I definitely want to go ahead and let y'all know that this is going to be an instant classic.
Classic.
Mm-hmm. Classic.
Classic.
And we're going to get quick. We're going to be quick with this. The news and notes is going to fly by. The round table discussion, we may fly through that too. And then we got Miss Janice Moore coming up to talk about something special. So I hope y'all tune in to episode 26 so you can catch up with what's about to go down tonight.
What?
Then we got the word on the street from a girl, the jewel of sports.
New boo.
And then we going to the mine of slick money.
Yeah, don't go in the mine of slick money today. I hope y'all bring something to eat.
Yeah, so I hope y'all can understand or know what the word interracial means.
Oh, Lord, have mercy,
Jesus. Because we're going to get deep tonight when we get into the mind of slick money. So, to further ado, I guess we might as well give a ham clap.
Hey,
to
he come Maddie. Come on in, Maddie. Yeah. Clap. Everybody good. See you.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Here come my baby girl, Maddie. Maddie in the studio. Hey. Come on in, Maddie. Go on and get you something to eat, Maddie.
There you go.
I love that hat, Maddie.
Man, that's hot.
That's hot.
I have me one of those.
Did you really?
Uh-huh. I have a few of those.
Where did you get that hat from, Maddie? That's cute.
There you go.
Isn't that special? That is so cute,
that's
Maddie.
That's awesome.
Yeah. If y'all didn't know, Madison is my youngest daughter.
There you go.
She stayed in the penthouse. She usually don't come out. She used to take pictures for us, but she got tired.
She got tired.
Yeah, but she's in the building. Matt is so glad to have you. Can we give Matt a hand clap, Horace, please?
Yeah, give me
give
one.
Give her a
second.
Hand clap, yeah.
Matt deserves a hand clap.
Matt, she deserves. She's young. She's the youngest out of all of us. She should outlive all of us, right?
Yeah, we hope so.
Okay, yeah, we hope so, Matt. Thanks for coming, Matt.
She going to be somebody's lawyer one day.
Absolutely, I hope so.
All right, well, let's jump on into these news and notes, man, so we can go ahead and get this thing started real
let's
quick.
Get it.
Oh,
yeah.
Hot.
So, news and notes, the Final Four is coming to North Dallas.
Ooh.
Or is it North Texas?
Yeah, North Texas.
Arlington, Texas.
UConn, Florida, Wisconsin, and the University of Kentucky. My bracket is tore up.
Is Calipari going to finally get some just dues now?
He deserves it.
He deserves it.
Okay. That's all.
I mean, he deserves it. to get the kids that didn't one playing worth a flip. I mean, I just think that just a lot of coaches hated him in the past for what he used to do. You know, with the incident with John Thompson, and sort of kind of got blackballed with coaches.
That was Chaney, wasn't it?
John Chaney
wanted to choke him.
Yeah, bad too. So that's the Final Four is set up for this weekend. Saturday, first game 6:09, second game 8:39. And for all y'all high school basketball fans, the McDonald All-American game is tonight.
Yep.
9:30. And congratulations to Mr. Steve Wojciechowski, the new coach for Marquette.
That's huge.
And
Chesky tree getting bigger.
Yeah, man, boy. They trying to get out of there to get some experience. Because he going to only go do 5 more years. And Jay Williams is in talks with Duke now to become the next assistant. So just some.
So just out of your mind, who you think will succeed Krzyzewski?
Tom Hammer.
Hammer?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, he's had the most success, consistent success.
Yeah.
But he hadn't been on that level. He'd been on that level as a system. He hadn't been on that level as a head.
But
you can make Harvard relevant.
True.
Yeah.
Making Harvard relevant. No scholarships.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's big.
Hey, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
When you said the high school All-America, did MLK win another state title?
I don't know.
Because I think if they did, that's 5 straight ones.
I don't think they won.
You don't think they lost?
I'll find out because little turn up go to MLK.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Scarf.
All right, Hancock.
Yes.
DeSean Jackson, your favorite fantasy football player from last year.
Man.
The Eagles release him and he goes to the Redskins. Shout out to my homeboy Marlon Irvin.
What's up, Marlon?
he pretty pissed off about it. Alleged gang ties and work ethic is the reason for the release.
It's almost character assassination, man. I mean, they really don't have facts, you know, to back up what they did. You know, to me, this was a money thing. You know, they were able to get out of $30 million, I think, over the next, 3 to 4 years or so. And pretty much, you know, they just let him go for nothing. And to me, to use possible gang affiliations to get someone away from your team, you know, I thought that was a little underhanded.
What urban kid from the streets can't say?
Exactly.
Doesn't have gang affiliations.
Well, and my thing on it is, so if you're going to talk about what ties you have with someone, I'm sure somebody was tied in with Bernie Madoff.
You got that right. You got that right.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody with the Mets organization was tied in with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he did anything but stole billions of dollars.
Billions.
So, I mean, it's always affiliations, and especially, like you said, coming from the inner city. You know, Chip Kelly had, I'm sure, gang members on his football team at Oregon.
I know USC did. Yeah,
exactly. But, I mean, you look at DeAnthony Thomas play for Snoop. Snoop got gang ties.
Yep.
You know, and he played in this organization all through his life. So, Chip Kelly knew about those relationships or whatever. So, to bring this in and say what DeSean Jackson might have, I think was just underhanded to me.
It was. Backdoor.
Doesn't make the Redskins a contender for their division now.
Because
they signed Robertson from Andre Roberts from Arizona.
It doesn't hurt them because now you've balanced the side. You got a guy that stretches the field.
Right.
And now you got a guy with Pierre Garçon who will kind of go across the middle. They're still about a one receiver away. They got a running back. If RG3 can make it back to somewhat of the form he had, you know, in his rookie year, you know, they could possibly have something there.
Okay. D. Will. Mm-hmm. Johnny Football had his pro day last week.
Yeah.
Johnny and Jadavian had his pro day today. They were both very, very impressive based on the scouts and what the experts are saying. In your mind, who's the clear-cut number one after looking at both of them and reading all of what you read about those two pro days?
China Football is a beast. Like, he's going to be good, and you can understand if the Texans stay there, they need a quarterback, and he's sitting there it's going to be hard for them not to take him. But there's no way possible you cannot take Jadeveon Clowney. This guy is going to be, from all reports, he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler, first team all NFL and future Hall of Famer. But when you look at him, you look at his body, you look at his athletic ability, and the tape doesn't lie. You go back to his sophomore year, he was a beast. Like, he did everything. He had 15 sacks. He had over 80 tackles. And last year he had a drop-off, and everybody knows why. And just to throw it back out there to the table, do you think he should come out and say what his reason for decline was last year?
Hancock said yes.
If he was my son, he would never play.
I got last you. Year. Exactly.
So I'd have had him sit out the whole year and just train, get stronger, and make sure he was ready for the draft. I mean, ready physically.
Exactly.
I mean, he was already ready to play. But what I mean, to be that much in shape, ready to go through the combine workouts and solidify his draft status.
But does that pose as a red flag?
Well, I mean, red flag because of what his last year was? Well,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, him taking it off.
True football people know what that was about. Exactly.
But you know, true football people also know in the NFL is something called free agency.
Yeah, it is free
agency. And when you come around and it's that contract year, do you think he's going to take it off?
Well, no, because that contract year, you're playing for the contract. Now, the year after he gets the money there, he's going to do anything. But you best believe the year that he's trying to get that money, he going through walls and whatever to get that money.
Yeah, that's how they do. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Miss Tiffany. What's going on with them Pacers?
A lot. yeah, a lot.
Paul George stay at the strip club.
Man, first of all, number one, they lack leadership. It's clear.
Right.
Number two, Paul George, he has too many off the court distractions. Like, he does not seem like he's focused solely on basketball and helping his team win the championship. He's worried about the strip club. He worried about this alleged baby he got on the way. He worried about being catfished. Like, he just got too much going on. Then you go into Hibbert. He's popping off at the mouth, talking about his selfish guys on the team. And he's been playing so inconsistent. He had, like, I think it was 20 games where he was scoring above 14 points. Then he had, like, 14 games where he was scoring 5 points.
Wow.
Like, it's just, he's been terribly inconsistent. And then Lance Stephenson and George Hill getting into it and having to be separated. They're all over the place. And this is the worst time for them to be all over the place.
I wouldn't even mind if they were arguing and fighting with each other a little bit, but if it, you know, helped them get ready to play basketball.
Yeah,
you're going to have disagreements. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. But I agree. The biggest thing to me is George and Hibbert.
Mm-hmm.
And Hibbert is not what I really thought he is. And for that matter, even George. George is basically a wing player that plays good defense, and his offense suffers.
Mm-hmm.
The big man in the middle is not the guy that can get you that key bucket. They can't stop runs. And they were getting by with playing a lot of good defense and getting a lot of transition, but they're not doing that anymore.
Mm-mm.
So I'm not sure. You know, honestly, that was my pick for the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, I was with you on that pick.
I mean, I still think they have probably the best overall team, but I'm not sure the psyche is there.
It's not at all.
I'm not
like,
sure.
Yeah, they're mentally messed up right now.
They got up, like we said, about 3 games ago to play Miami.
Mm-hmm.
But then you turn around and lose to teams that you should beat. So
I mean, and they barely – and they escaped Miami. They didn't even beat Miami. They escaped.
They had some blunders down the stretch.
Right. Like, free throws. Yeah, George Hill. And he's really been in his feelings ever since he missed those free throws.
But that was a key that Horace said a long time, but they needed a point guard.
And you see what Jared Jack is doing since Kyrie been out.
Yeah.
Because
they
talked about bringing him back.
He would be great in that role.
And see, that's the leadership. That's the toughness that we talked about. Yeah. That's putting everybody in the right positions and things of that nature.
Right.
And
so, George Hill was a system with San Antonio where he flourished.
Yeah, he sure was.
When you got to be the man, it's different.
Yeah. All right, Slick. Miami Heat went through some struggles, but they in first place now in the East, baby. So what you got to say about Brun and them?
Just like I stated at the beginning of the show, I mean, in August, when the season started,
right.
I picked Miami to win it all. Don't know if they're going to do it now, but I still believe them getting home court advantage, if they keep that,
right.
it's going to be hard to beat them in game 7 on their court.
Right.
But to piggyback off the Pacers, these are the Pacers that I thought they was going to be anyway. I just truly believed it. I really did. I think they steal a player or two away. Do they have the youth? Absolutely. I think Miami still got it. the West going to beat up on each other as well as, you know, I just think Miami with a 7-game advantage at home,
right.
Game 7 in their building, Bron ain't going to lose as a game 7. And it's just something about the sports gods always favor those great athletes. And yeah. In the past have always shown it. Like Steve said, that 3 last year that Allen hit.
Right.
I mean, we won't even be exactly. Those are the gods of the sports that, for some reason, just follow along with those great athletes.
Yeah, I agree.
It was a real big shot.
Big shot. All right, we're finna move on to the roundtable discussion. And we just go talk about and toss this around a little bit. NBA playoffs, what do you expect? Now, let's set this up. I think from the beginning of the season, I think that we all thought Durant versus LeBron in the finals.
Yes.
San Antonio has won 18 straight.
Mm-hmm.
And they are gelling. They looking good. They just don't. They don't look like they even have a weakness right now. So my question is, can OKC still win the West with the way San Antonio has been playing? Can they beat them? And
I want to say with the way San Antonio is playing right now, they're playing amazing, but they're an older team. So, and the West is so strong. So say, for example, they go 7 games in each round they're in. I don't see them playing that well in the finals against the Heat I don't see them playing that well in the Western Conference Finals against OKC when they're younger and they can run, their legs are fresher, they can run longer. And San Antonio's been on the streak that they have been. I kind of think that they maybe have, like, peaked too soon with this streak. I think they kind of started it too early because of the fact that the playoffs, I mean, that's not like a one and done. Like, you got to – that's some tough basketball. You really have to be in and ready to play in those playoff games. And I don't know if they'll be able to hold up that long.
Well, and also, the Spurs have never been in this position before. Like, their longest win streak in the Popovich era is only 14 games. And they're now at 18 games with, 8 or 9 games left in the season?
Right.
So we're talking 25 to 26 game winning streak if they stay on it. That'll be what, the second longest winning streak in NBA history.
Exactly.
Look, 33 is a record. Miami had what, 27 last year. So we're talking about them going on 27 game win streak, then 4 playoff rounds.
Like, yeah,
that's 7 games.
That's crazy.
I don't see San Antonio being able to sustain that against OKC, who, if Russell Westbrook is 100%, that's a bad matchup for them anyway. And even if they do get past OKC, there's no way that they're going to possibly beat Miami in the final. Not going to happen because they already match up bad with them, but I just don't see that happening.
Yeah. I could understand if they needed to win every game you're talking about. But like she just said, they have series. The thing with San Antonio is they don't care about the streak. They don't care about winning the rest of them out. Popovich might sit 5 of them down.
But that might throw off the rhythm.
Not them. Not them. Because what they do, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. He sits people all the time. Mm-hmm. It's part of their makeup. And it's part of what Popovich does. He doesn't care. The only thing he really cares about is having the home court. Mm-hmm. And if he can have that home court by sitting players here, whatever, he doesn't care about a streak. That's way down on the priority. They're about winning rings.
Yeah, this streak just happened.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, it just happens. Like, yeah. That's right. What I'm saying.
So they don't care. They might not go 8-0 these last 8 games. They don't care. They just want one more victory than Miami.
I totally understand that, but can they sustain is the question.
But they sustain because when you talk about running, San Antonio is not really a running team.
This year they are. They more up-tempo.
What they do, though, in the half court, and you know in the playoffs what happens.
Oh, it slows down.
Right. So what happens is it slows down, and they move the ball, and they make other people get out of position. Mm-hmm. So I don't think – you know, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cliche, though. That's kind of cliche.
No, you can see the points and everything go down in the playoffs.
It does. The game slows down.
Not last year finals. Last year finals was one of the highest scores finals ever.
Well,
and San Antonio was in it.
Three shooting.
Well, I'm saying, I don't care what goes on. But I'm saying.
But you're talking about action versus points is different.
No.
Because you can run up and down the court and be up and down and not score. What I'm talking about is you had – your boy, what was the point? Danny Green went crazy shooting three.
Yes, he did.
Oh, yeah. So that's what helped the score.
But those were fast-paced games last year against Miami. Those were up-tempo because Miami plays
a fast-paced game when they're layups, but these are threes. You don't take threes in transition.
Threes lead to what? Long rebounds lead to transition.
He wasn't missing.
That's what he had two games when he was on fire. And what happened after that?
He had two last games that he wasn't on fire. The rest of the
season. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. His two last games that counted.
He set a record.
The first two games of the series. And what happened at the end of the series?
He fell off.
Thank you. Can they sustain?
Yeah.
Tim Duncan. Listen, I trust Tim Duncan.
How many games did the series get?
Seven.
Okay, so he fell out the last two. So five of them. No, he didn't go. He wasn't.
Did they win the series? Did that help them win?
That's my point. They cannot go seven games. They cannot go seven games.
Listen, I trust Tim Duncan. I trust Tony Parker.
It was a running series.
No, no. I trust Tim Duncan. I trust Tony Parker.
What we was talking about.
No. I trust Tony Parker. I trust Tim Duncan, and I trust Manu Ginobili. I don't trust their supporting cast to sustain through this trip of maybe 26, 27 games in a row, plus 28 games in the playoff.
All right, Slick, go ahead. Let's see what Slick got to say.
Miami, that's it. That's all they're looking for.
I think it's not going to be easy for San Antonio in the West.
I don't either.
I think Golden State is dangerous.
That's a bad matchup.
The Clippers are dangerous, and I think Portland is dangerous.
Yeah.
And a team like Memphis sneak in or Dallas at the end.
And Memphis is the last team to beat them.
Right. Exactly. I mean, I just think anything can happen, but I truly believe the East is much weaker than the West, which I think Miami going to cruise in because of that. And they'll play down to competition, but if they get home field advantage, they're going to make it to the finals. That's just my take.
For sure.
Okay.
I still want to see them in the Pacers hook up. I think
that's what I'm
I do too,
to
but
see.
I mean,
see, I'm telling you, if Pacers ain't careful, man, they can meet somebody like Charlotte or they meet somebody like Washington Bullets or Wizards, they're going to lose.
Exactly. With the way the Pacers playing right now, they could lose and not even see Miami.
They might not even get you
for real.
I don't think it's one team going to beat them. And if anybody beats them, it'll be Miami.
Do you think San Antonio can match up with Miami in the finals?
I think San Antonio's a bad matchup for everybody.
I think Miami's a bad matchup for them.
I do too.
They ain't got nobody that can hold Brum.
Nobody.
I see San Antonio.
And they showed last year.
But they don't have anybody who can guard Dwayne Wade. And if he's anywhere near healthy, that's bad
matchup.
That
series was over. Popovich made the mistake on that series.
Oh, yeah, he did.
They had them beat.
Yeah, they did.
They had them beat.
I think Miami make it back to the final. Spurs don't make it. I think Spurs get upset.
I do, too.
All right, so this is my next question. Can we give – Blake Griffin is credit.
I've been giving Blake Griffin credit.
You done heard Charles Barkley say he's soft.
Oh, everybody right?
said still soft.
Everybody, you know.
I don't know about that, D.
They say he didn't have a post move. They say all he do
still
is
still ain't
dunk.
Got no post move.
All he do is dunk. No, and
I think he's widened his game from what he used to be.
He got a better face up.
Okay.
That's what he's gotten better this year.
So is he top three power forward in the league now?
Without a doubt.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Is he number one?
I'm still taking Kevin Love.
Kevin Love is first, and then I go with Blake.
Yeah, then I
What
go
about
with
Aldridge? He's
I like Kevin Love.
What about
Kevin Love more of a stretch for?
Right. okay. Listen at this then. Kevin Love, Blake Griffin.
Aldridge,
DeMarcus Cousins.
Ooh, okay. I forgot about Big Cousin.
Yeah.
Big Cousin is crazy, though.
Yeah, he's a fool.
That's the problem with
But what about Randall?
His mental was not stable.
Zach on the bottom end. He's over 30.
Yeah, I mean,
a couple years ago, I've been with
him. Yeah, he's on a decline now.
Last two, 3 years, he still did his thing.
But he's on a decline. He ain't been in his prime, though. He's not as good as he used to.
Basically, we talking about kids under like 20.
Okay, well, yeah, okay. We're going to clarify.
Okay, so we talking power forwards or post players?
Just them four. Them four. They I already know.
I'm going to say, is DeMarcus Cousins considered a power forward?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they got him listed as a center.
Yeah,
he's a power forward. Yeah.
But he's 6'11".
But he's
big
a power
body.
Forward.
Yeah. Woo.
All-star ballot power forward.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, I might. Big Cousin Blake. Woo. I don't know, because he's young, man. He young. He has the talent. Like you said, like Hancock said, he's crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
if he played with Chris Paul, he'd be dangerous.
He'll be dangerous.
Yeah. But we can say that for LaMarcus Aldridge.
But still,
because LaMarcus Aldridge is a beast, right?
I think his craziness a pull back if he was on a winning team
could be.
I think.
But sometimes
in Kentucky, he did.
I don't know.
In
I think he's just crazy.
They won a national championship.
Him and Lance Stevenson kind of in that same boat.
Yeah, they just both are crazy. You know, yeah, they got some mental problems.
Yeah, they can't get right.
That's a good question, though.
Can't get right. Yeah.
That's a heck of a question.
Can we talk about that next week?
Yeah.
Yes, please. Please.
All right, it's almost that time for all of what you've been waiting for.
The greatest episode ever. Episode 26. Production meeting went crazy.
Yes.
Changed the life of a lot of people. Well, I tell you, God is
really
good.
Really did.
Yes, God is good. Yes, He is.
So give me let's play a little music.
Let's get some intro music.
Get some music while we waiting on this.
Oh, let it breathe, Steve. Say it one time. I like to hear Steve say it.
Me too.
Let that breathe.
Let that breathe.
Let's let that breathe.
Oh, yeah, switch that around so she can get more room there. There you go. D-Wheel, can you come get your trash, please? You're making the penthouse look bad. Yeah. You know, I got Maddie here, so Maddie don't want you to make the house dirty. Hey, Maddie. Hey. Maddie got a San Francisco hat on. Looking all cute. Yeah, you rocking that, ain't you?
I love this. Yeah.
Your new boo will like that song.
Look, okay. Why you got to be going there right now?
Okay.
How was your day today? Did you have a good day today?
I had a great day today because you know why?
Why?
God is good.
All the time.
Yes, He is.
Yes.
And Jesus is too.
Of course.
That's all I want to let y'all know.
All right. Here we go, baby.
Let's do this.
This is the time that everybody's been waiting for. Anticipation. It's almost like a mental stimulation. You know what's going to happen after that, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
so
sir.
We got Matt in the house, so we're going to keep it clean. But anyway, like I said before, let me get my hand clap music out. Like we said before, Janice Moore is in the house, and she's in the house for a reason. Episode 26 went viral, I would say. My text messages was blazing. Emails were like, what the hell? You know, all of this stuff. What's going on with your
jumping
folks?
On the Facebook page.
Yeah, just everything. So, you know, I took the liberty to try to play peacemaker. And I guess a email, because I told y'all last week or episode 27 that, you know, we kind of came to some conclusion with the Waltons and all this other kind of stuff. But I get an email last week, and please call me at this number. Now, I'm not one who call or answer unfamiliar numbers, but I felt compelled to make this phone call because it sounded professional. And so I made the phone call. This is Janice Moore. I am an executive for Walmart. I almost dropped the phone in the toilet.
I would have to.
I'm thinking, Slick, what's the number? You know, we got to get the attorney on the phone.
Get sued.
You know what I'm saying? But she said, "No, it's not like that. Let's keep it. You know, let's keep it copacetic." And when she told me that she was from Bankhead, I put that Bankhead swag on. And we got down to some talking, for real talk. And she said, "Man, y'all so cool. I love the show. The only thing I ask is that you allow me to come on the show and enlighten," is the word. She highlighted that now. You see how smart she looks.
Yeah, very, yeah. Very smart.
I mean, that? Extremely smart.
The like glasses that. And CAU in the house representing.
CAU.
You know what I'm saying?
Even got the salt and pepper look.
Yeah, hey,
looking
man.
Looking like
listen.
Nancy Wilson. Yeah, that bitch just looking hot. And I'm
Sleek,
like. You think our audience know who Nancy Wilson is?
I think they don't know who Nancy Wilson is. But they ought to go ask their mom and daddy. Yeah. Their mom and daddy know who Nancy Wilson is.
But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Janice Moore is in the building to enlighten us. Please give us a round of applause.
Yeah, what's up, Miss? What's up, Miss
Janice?
Miss Janice, welcome.
What's up, Miss
looking
Janice?
All cute and going? Professional.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate the invitation.
Well, yes. Thank you for coming by because we needed this. Mm-hmm. This is going to be a true thing. So my first question is, and I know you, CAU. Is it CAU, CUA?
Clark Atlanta University now. So CAU.
CAU. What was this your first thoughts? What went through your mind when you listened to that show and you listening to your employer being just
I think I was more shocked than anything. I mean, I've been with Walmart now for almost 7 years. It'll be 7 years next month, and I'm just kind of appalled at the response that we've gotten, and even my own family. I'm originally from Atlanta. I grew up off of Bankhead Highway. And when I moved back to Atlanta 3 years ago, even my own family was like, you work for who and you do what? So I get it, primarily because Walmart has not really infiltrated the Atlanta area the way it has in other places around the country. So I get it. And most people get their information from television and also from other media outlets. And so unless you're really on the inside, you really don't know that things are not what they appear.
Well, we had a conversation and we talked, and I actually got schooled. I mean, I was appalled of some of the information that you passed along. Hell, I started looking on the website.
For a career opportunity. Yeah, you know. Forget the SRT crew. You know. Let's go to Walmart.
Yeah. Like, yo, maybe I need to, but Emory, I can go to the doctor while I'm at work. So
that's a good thing. Yes, that is a good thing. Yeah, good benefits.
But okay, so my first question, and you have a question, Slick.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And Hancock, I know you had one.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be one.
And I'm sure you got one. Now, you heard Tiffany. She's an alum. Mm-hmm. This is not a war. This is not SRT versus Walmart. This is more of what could you say to Tiffany that can enlighten her, that can just hold on for 1 second? Because you kind of did me the same way. You know, just before you even talk, let me enlighten you on some of the things that maybe you don't know. Just like you said, the media is portraying this, but you know. So what could you say to Tiffany that she probably just don't know and not aware of?
Well, a couple of things. So we are the world's largest employer. In the United States, we have 1.3 million associates and then 2 million associates worldwide. One of the biggest things that I think people think about us, because what they hear in the media is that we don't pay any money, we don't offer employee benefits, we lock employees in buildings, we have unsafe work conditions, work environment, et cetera. But I will tell you that there have been some things that didn't necessarily go the way that they were planned. But again, we cannot control 1.3 million people. I mean, the moment that one person goes viral or does something crazy, then that's the picture that's painted for the 1.29 million people out there.
Right.
So I think that's one of the biggest things. And I will tell you that as an associate, I wish that I had gone to work for Walmart when I got out of college, because had I done it, I would have been retired about 15 years ago.
A millionaire?
A millionaire.
Wow. What's your degree in from?
Math and electrical engineering. I was dual degree with Georgia Tech.
What made you go to Walmart? What put you over there?
So I graduated from Clark Atlanta, moved to Nebraska, worked for 13 years there through with some large companies like IBM. I also worked for the telephone company there and got tired of corporate America, decided I wanted to go work in nonprofit. So for 10 years, I worked in nonprofit, then went back to corporate America in Dallas, Texas. And then in Dallas, went back to nonprofit. When I went back to nonprofit, the nonprofit I work for is called En-ROADS. I give them a little shout out. They do internships for minority college students. And while I was there, we reorganized as a company. I was executive director for the Dallas office, and my position was eliminated. And when my position was eliminated, a former coworker who also had worked for En-ROADS had just gotten on with Walmart, had been with Walmart for a year, and she called me one day and she said, you really need to take a look at this opportunity. You're in Dallas, there's a position open. And I said, I like Walmart, never ever thought about working for them. She said, no, seriously, you really need to take a look at this opportunity. So I went through the interview process, got hired, and when they gave me my offer, it was more money than I had ever made in my life. And the manager that called me said, and oh, by the way, it comes with a company car and bonuses and stock and when can you start? So I went to my current employer. I was working for the Dallas airport at the time. And I said to them, I've got this offer with Walmart, and they really want me to come work for them. And they immediately said, oh, don't worry about it. We'll just match what they're going to do. And I turned to them. I said, you're not going to be able to do that. And they were like, yeah, let me see the offer letter. So I gave it to them. They said, no, the only way we could match this is if we made you a vice president. And we're not in a position to do that. So I left, and I've been there ever since. And I will tell you, the thing that I really like about the organization is the culture. I mean, Walmart was founded by Sam Walton about 51 years ago. And when Walmart was founded, it had a completely different mission than the mission that we have right now. It was basically a store that people could go to in small towns and get the basics that they need without having to go, you know, 50 miles away. Walmart was never intended to be the organization that we are now because, again, it was just one store in one community. Well, since that time, that concept has just basically spread like wildfire. So here in Atlanta, we don't necessarily have, you know, 50 stores within the city limits. But there are other cities, like when I lived in Dallas, where we had probably 25 stores within the city of Dallas. So again, just a different concept. So what we offer in our mission is to save people money so they can live better. So one of the first things that someone said to me when I came to work for Walmart, and you'll have to let this marinate when I say it to you, is, without Walmart, there will be no Christmas in the United States. Again, without Walmart, there will be no Christmas in the United States. Because if you combine all the other retail operations in the world together, they don't have the footprint that we have. We have over 10,000 facilities across the world, over almost 5,000 facilities in the United States. No one has that. We really don't have any competition per se. We have grocery stores like Kroger and Publix here in Atlanta that compete on some parts of our business, but there is no one that does what we do. Even when you think about Costco, Sam's Club, any of those others, they just don't compete with us. So there is no competition. So the thing is about Walmart is that we provide opportunities for people who couldn't necessarily do it. So again, I'll go back to when I got laid off. When I was laid off, I had another job. I went to work for the airport. Well, the thing is that at that time, I was over 40 years old. Nobody is hiring people over 40 years old, especially not in responsible positions, okay? Now, yeah, I could have gotten a job working maybe at the airport, you know, doing something else. But from a financial standpoint, they're just not doing it. We don't really care about age or anything. So, again, a lot of the people who've come to work for us are people who either got laid off, right-sized, or whatever, when the economy went south or whatever. They came to work for us and found out that this is just not about having a job. It's having a career. We are the only company in the world that hires every profession that you can think of, from engineers to pilots to artists to people that do marketing, people that do sports medicine. We have doctors, lawyers, the whole nine. The only position that you cannot work in Walmart if you want a position, and that's an astronaut, because we're not doing anything with space travel. But we have, you know, information technology, just all kinds of opportunities for people.
Wow. All right, Slick, you got a question?
Yeah, I have a question for you. You look nice, and it's always good to have educated guests to come to the penthouse. Because you know God and Jesus is above us. Y'all know that, right?
Yes, we do.
And Ms. Moore, it's a pleasure to meet you. My question is, a lot of these corporations don't hire kids with education, be it high school diploma or GED. Could you enlighten some of us or people who don't know that there is an opportunity at Walmart?
So at Walmart, one of the things that we know is that most of the people who come to work for us are people who've grown up in the business, who maybe started out as a cart pusher and are now in senior executive positions with the company, because we do allow people to kind of grow up in the business.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have a GED or education, that's something that we pay for. We'll actually get our associates to get the education. We also do college scholarships for our associates as well as children of associates, because we want to take people to the next level. At our home office in Bentonville, Arkansas, the other thing that we offer is college on that campus. So, for example, people can actually go to school. There are different universities that offer different classes, undergraduate degrees, master's degrees, et cetera, so that our associates can get educated. And for those of us that work out in the field, we have a relationship with American Public University. And they offer free books for anybody that wants to go to college, and it's basically done online.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have an opportunity to take advantage of discounted tuition with American Public University so that they can get a degree. Because one of the things we want to do is educate our associates to kind of take them to the next level. I mean, as we open hundreds of thousands of stores every year, we need people to work there. So we're always hiring.
Yeah, another quick question. Do y'all have layoffs?
There's only been, in my career, I've had one store close, but the associates were offered positions to move to another store. So not a layoff per se in terms of doing that, but we have had to, you know, relocate associates to other facilities when we've opened new facilities. But they do have an opportunity to stay with the company, transfer to another location. And that's the other thing, the beauty of it. So I moved from Dallas to Atlanta because my mom was having some health challenges. Now, normally when you put in for a transfer that you're requesting, then you're paying for your own relocation. In my particular case, that didn't happen. The company actually paid for my family to relocate from Dallas to Atlanta for a lateral position. And we do that all the time. When people get promoted, we move them across the country, around the world, whatever kind of opportunities exist.
Wow. Okay.
No, I mean, Slick is really, you know, asked some questions that, you know, she's been able to enlighten me on. So, you know, like she said, growing up in the company. Well, I grew up somewhere else in the company. No, just joking. But, you know, it seems that Walmart has more to offer than a lot of people really understand.
Right.
Now, how do you feel about the opposition that you find in a lot of these neighborhoods? Like, I saw in the news here recently a store where they were trying to put one up in a certain area of Atlanta, and the community came out in droves to try to keep the store from opening in that. So what's behind all that?
So I will tell you there's a couple things that are behind it. So growing up, well, I lived in Texas before I moved here, so I'm very familiar with that because I actually lived in two different communities where people fought it. So the first community that I moved into in Dallas, they ended up opening a store. It took 12 years for the store to open. And I had moved out of the neighborhood but did actually see the store open up. But most of the protest was on the size of the store. They didn't want a big store. They wanted our grocery store format, which is called a neighborhood market. They had a lot of restrictions in the neighborhood on what the building was going to look like because they wanted to kind of blend in with the city. They didn't want a gas station, just different things like that. So, again, the people in the community can pretty much work with us to do it, but the thing is that it kind of behooves the neighborhood to do it because what it's doing is providing jobs for the people that live in the community. Now, if you don't want people in the community to have jobs, then what are they going to do? All kinds of illegal kind of things. So that's part of the opposition. A lot of people feel like it's going to be traffic, and of course we work with neighborhoods with traffic patterns and different things like that. But what we try to do is be what's called the store of the community. So across the country, there have been places that we call food deserts. So if you think about the Vine City area over near the Atlanta University Center, there had been a Publix over there for years and years. And that particular Publix, you know, they like did a midnight move basically, went out of business and left the building vacant. And I know that there were some people within the city of Atlanta that work with Walmart to actually replace that and build a store there. The thing about it is that, and I grew up in Atlanta, and I'm 50, almost 51 years old. In my 50 years and growing up near that area, there was never a grocery store. So that meant that we had to leave Bankhead area, go to Cumberland area, or go way, you know, closer into downtown just to get food. And that's not right, especially when you have people who don't have transportation or they're on MARTA or they're doing other things like that. And that's what we try to do for our local communities is to provide services and things so that they're not being beat out of their money when they buy, you know, food items in a convenience store. So you've got convenience store pricing. So one of the other big complaints that we get as a company is that people say, well, you put small businesses out of business. But in reality, if you buy a bottle of water at the local corner store and you're paying $2 and we sell it for 99 cents, then what would you rather do? Rather pay 99 cents or pay the $2? And when you pay the 99 cents, that's what we're doing. We're saving people money so they can live better, so they can take their other dollar and do some other things with their money. like my man over here, or whatever it is that you want to do. But again, you have to think about that.
Jizzle.
So we're not necessarily trying to take advantage of people. And that's why we said we save people money so they can live better. So if you only have $10 to feed your family and you can buy the same products at Walmart at $5, then what you're going to pay $15 at the convenience store, then what would you rather do? Buy it at the convenience store or buy it at Walmart?
No brainer.
Yeah.
Going back to episode 26.
Yes, classic.
Okay, I never had an issue with Walmart. Okay, let's put that out there. Okay. My issue was I was not going to date the cashier at Walmart. Right.
Because we thought that he wasn't intelligent and he didn't make enough money.
Right. So my question is there some kind of rags to riches story? Remember somebody at Walmart?
Yeah, there are a lot of rags to riches stories. I will tell you that the majority of the executives that work at Walmart are people who started out as cart pushers.
Really?
The majority of them. And the reason is
missed
that
out.
Walmart. No, seriously. There are a lot of them. In fact, I work with a lot of guys that are now store managers that started out as cart pushers, and they'll tell you their story.
Nice.
And the thing about it is that some of them are educated. Some of them aren't educated. Some of them got education as a result of coming to Walmart. But I'm telling you, we change people's lives every day, because every time there's a big promotion for somebody, I mean, that could mean them, you know, not being able to feed their families, being on public assistance, to now they're a manager, being their first, you know, building their first home. There are stories of people who were laid off, living on the street, that got a job at Walmart and worked hard. And I'm not talking about 30 years to get there. I'm talking about, I have managers that are store managers that are under 30 years old that make six figures plus because they are just doing very well. And that's the kind of opportunities that they have. And a lot of the people who were working at Walmart as cashiers or cart pushers and other stuff are not necessarily working there because that's the only option that they have. A lot of them are doing that because they need insurance. So there's a guy who worked not for me but in one of the Atlanta stores that I knew, who was he had a PhD. He was working at Walmart for the insurance. He was an online instructor. So he was a PhD teaching, you know, master's level people about human resources, actually, but he had a PhD. He was really a doctor. You know, I'm not going to give his last name, but he really had a PhD, but he was doing that for the insurance. And even when you think about the people that are people greeters in our stores, a lot of those people are doing it for the insurance. They're not doing it because they have to. They're doing it because they want insurance. But now with, you know, the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare, things are a lot better. But I'm telling you, a lot of those people are not doing it just because they can. Some of them are doing it just for something to do. When Sam Walton first started Walmart, it was a way for housewives to get out of the house while their kids were at school and go do something. That's how we got started. It was a group of housewives that worked in the stores, and he taught them about retail. Some of them fell in love with it, decided to make a career out of it. But most of the people that come to us don't come looking for a career. They come looking for a job that turns into a career when they realize what the opportunities are.
Now, we talked, and the story that got me was people that have been in Walmart 30 plus years, or getting close to 30 years, and they're actually millionaires and don't even know it.
Right. So what happened was, when Sam Walton founded Walmart, one of the conversations that he and his wife had, Helen Walton, was that they both believe that you need to share the profits of the company with the people. Okay. So in doing that, up until maybe 4 years ago, we had a process where every year 2% of whatever your annual salary was got put into a profit sharing account. And that profit sharing account, you get it, you never had to do anything to get the money, but every year you got 2%. So if you, and that was invested in Walmart stock. So people who were with the company for the last, say, 46 years got 2% every year. They didn't have to put a dime in. Because it was invested in Walmart stock, and I don't know what the stock price was back in, you know, 1956 or 60. I don't know what
it was. It was less than $4.
It was less than $4.
I researched that.
Oh, it was? Okay, it's less than $4. And now that same stock is worth $76. So think about it.
Last week it was 77. But
yeah, it was
77.
It's 76.
Wow.
So if you got, you know, 2% of your salary, let's just say that was $1,000. $1,000 worth of stock then. Now it's multiplied, you know, almost 40 times that.
Yeah.
And you got it every year. And, of course, you're getting interest every year, every year, every year. A lot of those people, and I'm talking about, this is for everybody, whether you are a cart pusher, a cashier, a manager, an assistant manager, or whoever you are, you got that. I only got to participate for, like, 4 years of that. So, and it was good for me, and that was just 4 years. Right. So I can't even imagine.
Exactly.
That's why I said I would have been retired 15
Georgia
years
Power.
Ago.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go on my website. Look up.
sound like you need to get your boyfriend on aisle 7.
I'm going to go out to the parking lot and look for
that's
the car.
That's what I'm about to say.
That's what I said.
Hey, them fellas, boys, you're getting those cars. Look out for that little white car.
But so my thing is, now, you talking about a man and his wife, Helen and Sam, mm-hmm. actually changing lives.
Absolutely.
And when we talk, your vision was sort of the same way. You know, how can I help?
Absolutely.
How can I help you? you have that same mentality, and that what drew me, you know, closer to you, and I definitely wanted you to come on to enlighten, you know, just people, because, you know, information changes situations all the time, and I say that because there is no way I would have known that. Right. I had no reason to even research that. Right. But tonight,
I just got schooled. I know I got schooled. I will admit it. Yes, I have been enlightened.
You've been enlightened. Yeah.
Consider me enlightened.
I have a question for you, Mrs. Yes. Executive.
This ain't the slick money mind. Take that voice off.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'll take it back.
Take that voice off.
Moore is your last name, right?
Yes, it is.
Ms. Moore, I have a question for you. I done lost my question now.
Is your mind going too many places? You need to calm down over there.
Why is it that I got to calm down?
Because you went to the
No, seriously.
Now you went to
overwhelmed about how great a store Walmart is. I mean, because this is my favorite store. Sole sponsor of the Slick Money Show coming in June.
Okay.
And the greatest store ever, seriously. The best store. You can't even argue. Target, do I love Target? Yes, I do. But I'm going to marry Walmart. Greatest store ever. And I just can't imagine not having a high school diploma or a GED and you giving me a chance to get a job.
Yeah, seriously. That
I
really
think a lot of people
away.
A lot of people really just don't know that.
Yeah, that really blew me away the most.
So I make sure now the question came back to me.
Thank God.
Yeah. I'm sorry, but you know, I'm just overwhelmed.
I know. I can tell.
Can you tell?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, ask your question.
Okay, I lost my question.
Oh, no, please don't say that.
No, do y'all have anything like a job fair coming up soon or that we can tell our loyal listeners? Because we got a lot of great listeners across the country. And I want to know, is there anything coming up that we could tell them about hiring soon or a fair?
I got something for that, but okay. Go ahead. I'm going to let you answer that.
Yeah, we actually are hiring all the time. Right now we have a few new stores that are opening. One of them I know is one of mine. It's in Holly Springs, Georgia.
Oh, you own your own store? Oh, isn't that
that's
nice?
What I'm talking about.
She said, "That's my." She said, "My store."
I said, "One of my stores."
She has
one
of 19 stores.
Boy, stop.
Yes, I have 19 of them. But yeah, one of my stores in Holly Springs, Georgia, which is just north of Woodstock, is hiring. And we're always hiring. I would say any local Walmart, we're always hiring. I know that we're planning on a hiring event that has not been set up yet, the end of April, beginning of May, for people who are interested in management. I will tell you is that you have to have the ability to pass a drug test and a background check.
D Will.
So you have 30 days to
D Will.
And that's for any position, because again, right. We don't want to put any of our customers or associates in any kind of danger or anything. But I would say every store is hiring. I mean, just
great.
And basically, a lot of people say, "Well, I put in an application, I didn't hear anything." Well, the thing is, applications are only good for 60 days. So if you don't update your application, it basically goes away. So you have to keep updating it. And then there's nothing wrong with contacting the stores. I know a lot of the stores are putting on the kiosks in the stores as well as on the front doors of the stores when they're having in-store hiring events.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really the best way. You know, just go into a store to ask for a member of management, talk to them, tell them what you want to do. We are always hiring.
Now, you said that you over 19 stores?
Yes.
Could you find me a part-time job? I mean, Slick Money needs to make some extra money because I got some habits that I like
I'm
to.
I'm sure that we could refer you to a store near you.
Can you? I mean, seriously, can you?
Sure
so can I get your number from Horace? And maybe, because I'm going to apply Horace, seriously.
All right, but we got something for that. But the only thing I want to do, I want to ask Tiffany.
Oh, okay.
What is your feelings now about Walmart? Not, let me take that back. What are your feelings now about some workers at Walmart? Because you never had a problem with Walmart.
Exactly.
And Janice is the hiring executive manager. So she hires the people.
Yeah.
So I can assume and understand how it affected her because she the one hires the people. You know, you hit the wheel in the back right there. So how do you feel now that we all got school? I got school first last week.
Well, let me say this first. I wasn't the only one that felt that way. D. Will was on the same page as Tiffany. So let me put that out there since he there is in the go. Back over there.
That's why he gave up his mic.
Right. He gave it up yeah. quick. When Hancock should have been the one to give up his mic because he I felt tried. The same yeah. way that I did.
Because yeah. I think D. Will said the girl was sick earring in his ear.
D. Will said that he'll smash the girl that registered sick, but she can't marry him.
What yeah. smash?
He said something about house shoes and tattoos.
So. Like, yeah. yeah. So he felt the same way I did. But I'm going to move on from that. Right. Okay. But honestly, she has completely changed. I did not know that Walmart took care of their employees like that. I did not know that they were basically helping them get their educations. I didn't know that they were basically helping them,
become millionaires.
Basically, that's exactly what I was about to say. They are creating millionaires. I mean, like right now, I have my degree in civil engineering, and I want to quit Georgia Power.
Uh-oh.
Wow. Sound like she actually got a job offer.
Because just from listening, from what she said, she went to the same university I did.
Right. Oh.
Has a dual degree. Right. And she said that if she would have been working there 15 years before that, she would have been retired already. That's my mentality. That's where I want to be. I'm about to go on their website.
Well, the thing is, Tiffany, you don't have to go to the website when you have Janice here.
But see, I'm not just going to come on air and just ask her to give me a job.
Well, see, Slick don't care what come out of his mouth.
But Tiffany does.
And that's fine. But I'm trying to enlighten you that God is good.
I know that.
Did you know if he lived a floor above us, he'd know what we said on the 26th, that episode 26.
Yes.
So he set all this up, right?
That's why he brought her.
He set this all up, right?
That's why he brought Janice.
So now we're going to look at the man differently when we go down aisle 6.
Oh, well, you sure? I'm going to be speaking to all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Because them dudes got nice cars.
Yeah, they got benefits. They
got benefits. Yeah.
They got stocks.
And they can give you a baby. Isn't that special?
It's special.
Because you are, you know what I'm talking about?
Sit down.
Sit down. Okay. Boys.
All right, Ms. Janice. So I'm glad you. First of all, let's give her
a hand clap.
Yes, that was excellent. Yeah. Thank you so much.
And she said she had an engineer's degree too.
Yes,
electrical engineering.
I'm single. I got to find me a woman. You think Ms. Janice will go out with me?
I don't know. She might be. You might be too crazy for her.
Really?
She seems.
But I heard intelligent women like crazy men.
I don't know. You might be a little too crazy.
Maybe I should ask Madison.
Look how intelligent and
Madison,
sane she looks.
She's in the studio. Madison, you think it's a nice lady to go out with me, Madison? Madison says she don't know. Okay.
All right. So, Ms. Janice.
Yes.
Can I safely say that Walmart and SRT have built the friendship?
Absolutely.
Hey, clan clap, Horace. Clan clap. You're saying clap. Walmart in the house.
Now, can I also safely say that with the vision that you have for helping people, because we know that you are in the community doing your thing, especially since you're from Atlanta and we both from Bankhead, so I understand how that feels. Can we honestly say now and safely say that we can work on a partnership as far as sponsorship and to help listeners get jobs through SRT as we rep Walmart each and every week?
Yes, you can.
What? We about to rep Walmart sponsorship?
Jesus is alive.
Yes, God yes, is so good.
Anybody can feed 5,000 wow. people with two pieces of fish and a bread. Can bring Walmart into your home.
Look.
Yes.
So, Sam is rolling over, getting up, clapping.
Exactly.
Man, big what? Things happening for the SRT show.
Absolutely.
So you heard it yourself.
Wow.
So we got to wrap. Is there some ads we can talk about each week? You know, when we know about the job fair, we're going to tell the people the dates and the whereabouts, the ads each week, and whatever promo we need to contact as far as marketing. You know, give us a commercial to read or whatever we need to do to make sure that Walmart is the sole sponsor and partner for SRT and other projects moving forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Like the Slick Money show as well.
Because it's family oriented.
Family oriented. Absolutely.
Correct, yeah. So I need to go to the Walmart jewelry department and find some of their jewelry to be sponsoring the word on the street.
There you
yeah,
go.
Instead of Tiffany's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tiffany ain't so called you yet.
Tiffany out of here, yo. We with Walmart.
Yeah. Walmart is what's up. Walmart
so
in the building.
Gonna do it. So, yeah. Janice, you just do not understand
I'm so excited.
Blessing.
This is off the
that's in this
I'm cry,
penthouse.
Like, I'm so excited right now.
Oh, I'm finna cry.
The blessings that's in this penthouse.
I'm about to do a backflip.
Go ahead. Why don't you, the floor is right there. And D. Wood, you got 30 days to clear your system out.
So after the show, we're going to do a group hug. We're going to take pictures and, you know, we're going to post them, if you know, of course, with your permission. Because Walmart, I got to give me a Walmart shirt.
Oh, Walmart, well, that's what's up.
Give me a Walmart shirt, hat. We got to rep Walmart.
We rep at Walmart.
We get a sign to get up here.
Yeah, we about to be repping strong.
So we go rep Walmart all day long. Mm-hmm. And from the bottom of my heart, you know how Bankhead folks do. We in love with you.
Yes, we are. Thank you so much for coming.
We in love with you.
I agree with that.
You know, because somebody from Bankhead. Listen to the story. She's from Bankhead. No one gets out of there to become an executive.
Making bank.
Over 19 stores.
About to be more.
She has a story of her own.
Like, seriously. It's amazing.
I mean, are you serious?
And going to marry Slick Money.
But boy, stop.
I'm like, Jesus, we speak stuff in existence. We speak stuff in existence. That's what Jesus and God said. Believe in my word.
Right.
Have faith.
Should I mute his mic?
Please mute him. I don't want him to run her off.
Hey, just because I'm thinking big, y'all mad?
No,
really?
No,
seriously?
But no, but
calm down.
We're going to one more time.
Janice.
Thank you so much. I mean, hold on. You had people thinking that, you know, man, ain't nobody talking to no. Hey, I ain't talking to Walmart. Y'all staging that up. And listen, man, Janice is in the building.
In the building.
In the penthouse. In the penthouse.
One floor below Jesus.
Exactly.
He listen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he does.
I really thank you so.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Oh, my God. I don't know what to do. You going to stick around for Tiffany part? Or okay, so we're going to move on to the word on the street. Can Tiffany do the word on the street?
Yeah, she excited. She need to be
I'm
getting Janice.
Up like,
she,
like,
hey, she need to get Janice's phone number. And
oh,
get
me and Janice about to be best friends. This is my homie now.
Exactly. Not best friends.
Alumni CAUA, this is my friend now.
Absolutely.
You better watch out.
Ski-wee.
I didn't pledge. I'm about to be an honorary member, though.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And Steve, your boy already AK. With D-Wee. Jack and Jill, a.k.a.
There we go, baby. The word on the street, Miss Tiffany. Let's do it, baby.
Yes. Welcome to The Word on the Street with the Jewel of Sports. We sponsored by Walmart up in here, baby. Let's get it. We jumping into the ice cold facts today. Now, I got a question for y'all. What is the city that hosted the most Super Bowls?
New Orleans. Miami.
There you go. Miami's first with 10. New Orleans was second with 9.
Okay, there we go.
All right. Kevin Durant averaged 34.5 points per game in the month of March. He is the first player to average over 33 points per game in three successive months since Michael Jordan in 1989-1990 season. And another ice cold fact for you. Have you ever wondered why the Pro Football Hall of Fame is based in Canton, Ohio? Well, if you have, I have the answer for you. Between the years of 1921 and 1923, there was a team named the Canton Bulldogs that went 25 straight games without a defeat. They had 22 wins and 3 ties and won 2 NFL championships in the years of 1922 and 1923. NFL legend Jim Thorpe actually played for them, and since they had that unbeaten streak, that is the longest in NFL history. And due to that early success, the NFL decided to place the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. In my athlete word on the street for you, poor Tiger Woods. He had back surgery for a pinched nerve, and he will miss his first Masters in 20 years. He has won 14 majors between 1997 and 2005, but he has not won since 2008, so it won't be a big loss of him missing it. He probably wasn't going to win anyway. All right, former running back of the Denver Broncos, Knowshon Moreno, he got a one-year deal for $3 million to play for the Miami Dolphins. So, see you, Moreno. It was nice having you in Denver. To hope you don't win in Miami since you left me and my boys up there. All right, my third athlete word on the street for you, Maurice Jones-Drew, former Jacksonville Jaguar running back. He signed a 3-year deal, money terms not disclosed yet, with the Oakland Raiders. So, I don't know why he went there, but, I mean, he looking for somewhere to play. I don't know what the Raiders may do this season, but, yeah, we'll see. Shout out to Serena Williams. She won her 7th Sony Open title, and she holds the record for the most wins from anyone. And I also have some athlete love word on the street. Congratulations goes out to Cowboys quarterback Tony Romo and his wife for welcoming their second son to the world. Congratulations go out to Matthew Stafford, quarterback of the Detroit Lions, for getting engaged to the former Georgia cheerleader, Kelly Hall. And congratulations goes out to former Alabama quarterback, A.J. McCarron. He got engaged to Catherine Webb this past weekend.
With that big old cake.
Yeah. Let me jump into some hot rumors on the street for you real quick. I got a few of those. We all know or should know by now that freshman Kansas Jayhawk Andrew Wiggins has declared for the NBA draft. Now all eyes are on Duke freshman Jabari Parker. He has until April 27 to decide if he's going to declare for the draft, but rumor has it that he's going to stay at Duke because he feels like he owes the program more of himself, and he didn't give his all this year. So I don't know. I know you got something to say about that. I know you're going to jump in on that one. How you feel?
In the immortal words of Fred G. Sanford.
You big dummy!
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too when I read that. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see if he stays or if he goes. All right, Jay-Z's Roc Nation Sports Agency, they're rumored to be trying to sign Andrew Wiggins. They are after him along with another unknown agency. So he's trying to decide between the two. But if Jay-Z, it looks like Jay-Z may sign another big name. He's doing big things with Roc Nation Sports. My last hot rumor on the street for you, Derek Fisher, who is currently playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder, has said that he wants to retire at the end of the season to, quote, spend more time with family, like they always say. But rumor has it that he does talk to Phil Jackson a few times a month, and Phil Jackson has put the coaching bug in his ear to coach the New York Knicks. Fisher has since come out and said that Phil hasn't spoken to him about that, but it could be smoke and mirrors. Who knows? If they have a few conversations a month, you know that had to come up once or twice. So we'll see if Fish does spend time with his family or comes out coaching or something with the New York Knicks. And my last hot rumor on the street for you, we already talked about Jadeveon Clowney, that he went insane on pro day, and the rumor is that he will be the number one pick. So that is the word on the street with the Jewel of Sports, sponsored by Walmart in this piece. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And Shane Battier retiring after this year, too.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. Okay. FYI. So, old Shane made a good career.
He had a good career.
Yeah, had a good career. So, well, you already know.
Buckle up.
Buckle up. It is that time.
Hey, come on in, guys. So good to see y'all.
Time to go into the Slake Money. What up? Slake Money. What's up, homie?
No much, Ken, folk. D, I got some package for you. I got that green sticky stuff for you.
Man, I'm trying to get with Janice.
Yeah. Listen, I'm clean now.
I need that gig.
How about Junebug? Here comes Junebug.
Take it home to my buddy.
Come give me Junebug. Come give me Boo Boo. I need some help, Boo Boo. Walk me in. Hey, boo.
Big homie, what's happening?
What's up, kinfolk? Good to see everybody here. Oh, my God, I love my dogs. Got to give me some cats. Ski-wee into a building. What? Coming inside of Slick Money's mind. So good to hear all my folks, but this is going to be dicey. You know, Slick Money be sitting back in his bed, laying on that Tempur-Pedic. Everything go through his mind. I'm talking about from good, evil, all that stuff go through Slick Money's mind. Yeah, give me something I can breathe. Let that breathe. Oh, yeah. You know, I got my daughter in the penthouse tonight. Two beautiful executives in the penthouse. My family, Horace, D. Will, Hancock, lovely Tiffany. Just Walmart, I hate to tell y'all, y'all finna get a fine employee.
Yeah, because I'm about to get hired. She's about to get hired. Janice.
You and Janice going to be partners.
But I'm about to be rolling with Janice now. Partnering them.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. But this is a serious matter here, this question I'm going to ask. A loyal listener that lives in Michigan loves the SRT crew. She thinks I'm the sexiest guy on the crew. I guess voice-wise, because D. Will say he the sexiest. Me and Steve stay at Popeyes and Church of Chicken too much.
Yeah, we just heavy structure.
But anyway, this loyal listener in Michigan, her name is Terry, and she's Caucasian. You know, if you don't know what Caucasian is, that's a white person. Is that correct?
Yes.
We just want to make sure our listeners understand that.
I hope they know that.
Well, it's just in case they didn't.
Okay.
Okay.
Got to school them.
So she,
that would have been a Walmart joke on 26.
you funny.
I'm just
but we're not joking on Walmart no more.
Just saying, I'm just saying.
You but it would have. It probably would have.
I know you would
have. But not today.
Now you've been enlightened.
I'm enlightened.
So this beautiful woman in Detroit, like I said, she's Caucasian, very attractive. And when you're Caucasian and attractive, you just attract everybody. You know, and even a beautiful black woman going to attract all men from all walk of life. So her question was, if some African-American men in Detroit is taking her out on dates. And she said when she go out on dates, the black women give her the looks that you ain't never seen before.
Because she in Detroit.
Because she's in Detroit. Well, it don't matter what city you in, because they got that all over the United States. But the question she want to know is that, why do black women hate on white women when successful black men, doctors, lawyers, athletes, entertainers, Slick Money, Hancock, whoever, goes out with a white woman? She want to know why sisters hate and trip on her because of that. So, Tiffany, I don't know if you want to start first since you're female, but, you know.
Yeah, I'll go first.
Please go first since you're female. Then yeah. We'll go around the panel and give me your take on why that black women have an issue with black men dating white women. Especially the most successful guys.
Well, me personally, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
Because I love white men, actually.
Hey!
So,
hey.
So if you really want to get technical, I can say that. But as far as speaking as a whole for the way I know some of my, I have some friends that look at, have a problem with that.
Okay.
And they feel that white women have everything already.
Wow.
Like, because they feel that because they get the better job, they feel they get the better jobs. It, like, say, for example, if a black woman and a white woman were going for the same job, they would feel that the white woman would get it over the black woman just because she's the white woman.
Okay.
So they feel that the white woman already has everything given to her anyway. Why do you have to, quote unquote, take our men too? That's how they feel. The
okay.
ones that look like that.
And okay.
But I don't feel that way.
Right.
So I honestly cannot tell you what would trigger like something inside of me to look at somebody like that, because I don't really see color. I wasn't raised like that.
Okay. Well, my question to ask you then, since you made such a well-rounded statement and answer, is that the sisters that you know that speak negative, mm-hmm. what do you reply back to them off of what you just said? Because that sounds like a good answer that every woman should say. Mm-hmm.
I when I see them act like, I ask them why is it that serious?
Why they tripping? Why they
yes?
Hate.
Okay. Why they tripping? Yeah, and a lot. And I found that a lot of it comes from your background and where you grew up from.
Okay.
Like one of my friends grew up in Alabama. That's the place where, I mean, black and white, it's segregated.
Yeah, and it still got some racism
exactly.
down there. Yeah, absolutely.
Very much so. So when she sees an interracial couple, she can't stand it because where she grew up, the white people treated the black people bad. And so she doesn't understand why the black man would want to be with a white woman when she witnessed stuff like that.
Okay, I got you.
But I grew up in a predominantly white area where it was basically like the suburbs of Chicago, where it was like a mixed setting with black and white. And we all, like, I never dealt with racism at all growing up. So
okay.
I never was growing up to see color. I've always, my first boyfriend was a white boy in the second grade.
Okay.
So yeah, I never bought a sea color. I've dated men of all races.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny. If you get hired at Walmart,
mm-hmm.
I don't see a lot of white dudes at Walmart. So you won't get your boyfriend there.
You know what? That's why I'm going to go look for the executive of Walmart.
All the execs is black.
No, they might not be. You don't know.
Really? But when they see you with them black gals, them white girls, don't get mad.
I don't get mad. I'll just go grab me a white boy and be like, look at me too.
Yeah, just go to Coca-Cola, IBM, you'll get one.
I've actually joined an interracial dating website before.
Stop playing.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, yeah, that, I don't even care about that at
that
all.
Such a great answer, Tiffany. Now, Derek, is it you or Steve that want to go next? Because, you know, Harvard's going to go last. He always go last. Oh, we putting some more stuff on that you pre. But that was a great answer, Tiffany.
That was
Thank
for
you.
Steve.
Oh, this is for Steve. Steve finna go? Okay.
Yeah, he liked that.
Yeah, he liked
it. You gotta let that breathe.
Man. Okay, Mr. Hancock, you know what the question is? Us, the sisters are mad because the Caucasian other. So you can't really say Caucasian. You gotta say other because they have Hispanic women, Latino women, the Asian women, the Korean women, they making their power moves now.
Right.
So the black man is a hot commodity.
Well, one thing, well, we find out more facets about Miss Lady here every week.
She changed like the wind. Chicago wind. She just changed.
You like, you're a diamond. You really are. You multifaceted.
I'll be trying to tell y'all.
A lot of different things going on.
Steve, she like that wind in Chicago.
Cool. I ain't mad at you. But your question, Slick, was kind of like geared toward why, you know, sisters are mad that they see, you know, the brothers go to the white girls.
Right. Okay.
And you know, I can't speak on that because I've been a brother all my life.
Absolutely.
But from just looking at it, I mean, being that, you know, you and I, we come up from a different era.
Yes, we did.
And, you know, a lot of things now that seem acceptable when we grew up,
it
really wasn't acceptable.
Absolutely.
You know, whether they were looking cross-eyed now, believe it, back in the day, you would get stopped by police, you
right.
know, or whatever. Why are you with that person?
Right.
You know, what's going on? You know, anything could happen. The guy could be lynched, you know.
Right.
So it kind of puts me in a different, you know, a different era, different light. I see it a little different.
Okay.
I know we're supposed to all be kumbaya and, you know, everybody's supposed to be able to get along and all that. But, you know, you just one bad night from that word nigga coming out.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I'm just
one
being.
One bad night away.
You just one bad episode. One bad.
You have one good argument. It's coming out, huh?
And it's going to come out. I mean, or,
right.
you know, the word cracker or something. Something racial will come out.
Right, I understand.
And especially, but, you know, you never know what the parents of that person
right.
might feel.
Right. But see, the mention is this. So you don't have a problem with successful men or entertainers, athletes crossing over dating?
No, you do whoever you want to do. I don't have a problem with it.
You don't have a problem with it?
No,
okay.
I'm not. It's not me. It's just you have to be careful because a lot of times, like I said, you can say who cool and I'm cool with this and all that, but that word, you know, it's something can
but
trigger.
Dude, well, let me ask.
I had a good friend of mine. I know this is not anything to do with dating, but friend of mine, he started out being my lead tech, started to be my manager. Me and him had a good relationship, and we played golf together. He come to my house, I go to his house, mm-hmm. you know, drink a beer, we played golf together, a lot of things. But one day in the warehouse, one of the other technicians, who happened to be black, had something to say, you know, or didn't do something he liked.
This guy's white, though.
Yeah, my partner was white.
Yeah.
And I, you know, up out of his mouth.
Came that way.
You know, slip, nigga.
Yep.
You know, so, like I said, when I looked at him, I'm like, you know, man, you and I, we break bread together and do all that. And for you to be so easy to come out with that word, you know, you were good at it. You know, it wasn't.
It came out too easy, huh?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it came out nice. I couldn't have said it better myself. So, race and stuff like that is so touchy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's. I mean, you know, and then you look. You know, I saw Mandingo and all that, where the white woman would go down and get the buck and screw him at night. You know, and then Master would get his pick of the litter of the women. So it kind of shapes you a different way on things that you saw.
Right.
And like she said, she never saw racism.
Right.
She's never been exposed to that.
Right.
A lot of people don't even know what, you know, they don't even have an idea what really slavery was.
Right.
So people that kind of can reach back and feel the you know, the inequality that was, you know, black people faced, it's kind of hard. So you're going to get that cross-eyed look.
Right.
And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay. Dee, do you feel like saying something about this matter? Because I guess growing up in the Gump.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm from the home of the Civil Rights era.
Okay.
Montgomery is home base for where Martin Luther King, his church was there. That's where he preached. You know, so I've experienced a lot of racism in my life. I've seen it. I grew up around it. I saw it on just about a daily basis because I grew up in South Lawn, which is on the west side of Montgomery, but my mom was a high school teacher, and she taught at Jeff Davis, which was on the east side of Montgomery, where a majority of the white people lived.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to elementary school across the street from my high school, Danley Elementary, in the early 80s,
right,
where I was, you know, the minority at the school.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I saw racism, but also I saw it, I experienced it, but I've also dated a white girl.
Okay.
I've had a lengthy relationship with a white girl. One just though, we used to hook up. She was my girlfriend.
Like, okay.
So I have mixed emotions on that. Now, saying once you get with a person, I don't care what color they are, that goes out the window once you start dating.
Okay.
Like, there is no color between you and that person. If there's ever color, if it's color between you and that person, of course your relationship's going to break down anyway.
Can I stop you right there for a second? Because I think the question is, when you was dating the white girl, how did the black girls treated you or looked at you when y'all were together?
I didn't care.
Okay, you didn't care.
Nah.
But did she? How did she feel?
She didn't care either.
She didn't care either?
Nah. Because I'm saying that's petty for...
Those looks.
No. I didn't pay attention to it. If I did, like... Nah, you didn't. And we were in Alabama. Like, nah, you don't. Like,
okay.
Because if it's a African-American male or female who has an issue with an interracial relationship, that's that individual's issue. Like, it doesn't affect your... what you have going on in your relationship.
Right, right. Now, I'm not saying that. We were just saying what Slick's original question was, why do you think they have a problem with it? But you said you never saw anybody.
My opinion why they have a problem with it, they're just salty. Like, that's black women. That's white women who see white men with black women. Like,
yes.
That's just pure hate. And that's an... any aspect of life, you're going to get that. I don't care. You can see a light-skinned man with a dark woman and a light-skinned woman going to be like, why he with that bugaboo? You know? So that type of stuff happens. So
right.
Regardless of race.
Okay. I'm going to say hard for last. I'm going to make my voice my opinion on it because I have experienced that too before I got married. A few years prior, I went out with a Caucasian woman, very nice looking. She was over a bank. I feel good. You know, you date somebody with some status. Coming from Memphis, we ain't have none, Steve. We couldn't even spell bank.
Yeah, that's what I told you. I didn't know Memphis was country.
But me and her went to a Luther Vandross concert. She invited me to the concert. You know, I had my suit on. I was looking kind of good, Tiffany. You know, I don't look as good as I look now, but I looked kind of good. He had the little smaller waistline, had a nice suit on, and we went to see Luther perform at the Omni. It was the Omni then. And the concert was great. Freddie Jackson, a whole bunch of different people was there. And when we was leaving, exiting the Omni, some sisters got behind us. Oh, Lord have mercy. They started saying jungle fever. They was calling us all type of names. And you could tell the lady that I was with kind of fringe a little bit. You could feel her squeezing my hand like she was frightened. And you could hear the girls picking on us. And the people kind of like, some people was like appalled, like shocked. God, they saying that loud. Everybody could hear it. Then she just felt nervous, but it just shows you that still exists. And that was like early 90s, like 89. It still exists. And
you think she was uncomfortable. If you'd have took her to somewhere like Wet Willies or something, you think how uncomfortable you would have been.
Absolutely. But you won't be surprised on this subject matter. So many people wrote me in about making statements, but I didn't really get a chance to get clearance to make to say who said it or to get what they said. But a lot of it had to do with submission, that Caucasian women or women of other races are more submissive to black men and women are not. Black women are not. And I kind of disagree with that in a sense, because I think you can be so submissive. Well, you got your mic, Steve. You ain't got to put your head down. Because I think the generation now is changing, because I think you got a lot of black women that are very submissive. But most of the comments that I got, Steve, seriously, from people writing back to me to make a comment, was that a lot of black men don't want to deal with that chatterbox, that woman got that mouth. And for some reason, she can't control that mouth. And
a lot of black women can't control their mouth.
But see, a lot of white women probably do it too, but they might do it differently.
Listen to me. Let me say something real quick.
Please.
White women got the same mouth black women. Don't let it fool you.
I was just about to say that.
Absolutely.
They just may say it in a softer tone.
Not even
might
that.
Have
not
the
even,
same mouth, but everything don't
listen.
Come out. They the same. I don't get it.
Okay. Listen to me. Now, I'm saying it depends. Now, if you got you a old hood chick that say anything to come out of her mouth, she going to say that regardless.
Well, what I have experienced is that when black women be with white guys, they like a cute couple. But as soon as you see a black man with a white woman,
I don't have a problem with that.
That's you, Tiff.
That's crazy.
I'm just telling you, a lot of black women fringe, and yet they don't want to admit it, but that's the reality. It does.
That's true. You're right.
Because they like, we already struggling in our own race. Mm-hmm. Why you got to go outside our race? We ain't got enough men in our race. But I promise you, in the next 5 to 10 years, that's all you're going to see. It's changing now quickly.
Oh, you're right about it.
I'm telling you, there ain't gonna be no entertaining. There gonna be some guys taking working at Walmart, some dudes taking the trash out. The zookeeper, he finna get him a white girl. It's getting from the poor people to the rich people. So now it ain't no price tag. It don't matter. Love comes in all different colors and it conquers all things. Trust me when I tell you that.
That's gonna be. It. I mean, well, you got the third faction that's coming into that, and that's gay.
Gay, yeah, absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? So yeah. It's almost like everything is being more acceptable now.
Absolutely.
You know, you got to be PC on all of it.
Right. Okay. So. Well, we're going to let Harvest close us out because I know we say the best for last because he always gets sentimental.
You know, you about to drop something.
So some white woman finna cry right now.
Yeah, she about to get in her feelings. Get your Kleenex. Yeah. Mascara alert.
So the question is, why do I think sisters have a problem?
Yeah, sisters, yeah. Not the white woman now. It's the sisters.
I think tonight's show has been an example of what the problem really is. We got school tonight.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure did. Oh, my gosh.
And I think Lauryn Hill put out a song back in the day called Miss Education.
That was the name of her album, too, wasn't it? The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill?
That's it. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think Tiffany said something about how you were raised and, you know, who you grew up around and things of that nature. Steve talked about being raised in his time, so he felt that. But I just don't think sisters educate themselves enough to understand how this world works. We are so miseducated about a lot of things. And it was proven tonight that we are miseducated about things that really, really matters. And we got so many opinions about things that we're not even educated on. How can you get mad about something that you don't even understand yourself? Is my thing. How can you be pissed off about something that you don't even understand? You don't even understand who you are. You don't understand your history, your heritage, or nothing. But you're mad at somebody else because they got what you want.
Oh.
Speak on it.
Yeah, educate yourself. Educate. Research. I mean, it happens all the time. It just so happens that we're one floor underneath where God resides, and we got blessed tonight.
Oh, yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
That's education.
Yes.
So from here on out, you got to be open to being educated about certain subjects and certain matters and subject matters. And once we learn how to become more educated about what we have an opinion on, I think all this will go away.
That was tough there, brother. That's why you always go last. But Slick gonna close this out with this comment here, y'all. Seriously. And I mean, cause I'm piggybacking off Horace.
Piggyback and close it.
Because I truly believe that, like I said, love, God created love.
Yes.
And love comes in all forms, shapes, and sizes.
Yes.
And for the woman that's upset with the white woman or the other woman, Asian woman with a black man, get you one.
Check yourself, like Boy said, get to know yourself, know who you are. Exactly. Get yourself right and go get what you need to get.
Absolutely. Don't hate on the white woman because or the Asian woman or the Japanese woman
because
a black dude would
have their thing and getting theirs.
They doing something right.
Exactly.
Instead of calling that white girl in the bathroom and say, sister, how you doing it?
Exactly.
How you keeping them?
Get your dope pad out and your pen and take some
notes. Get your lick in his stomach. Tell me something I need to do.
Right.
Because I want to keep me one of those. It ain't even about the careers. Because if I was well to tonight, guess what? Huh. I'm marrying me a Walmart executive.
What? 19 stores?
She might look like she white, but trust me when I tell you this here. God is good and light skin is almost white.
Sit down.
Okay, I'm going to sit down. Tiffany told me to sit down.
Sit down.
But anyway, y'all, see, we have fun. And we don't try to make light of a situation. We try to bring fun and laughter because these are sad moments for people.
Yes.
Because I'm telling you, in the next 5 to 10 years, you're going to see interracial dating everywhere across the world. Oh, yeah. I doubt we're going to see two black people together in the next 10 years.
Man, I'm with you on that one.
Trust me when I tell you that.
Yeah.
They trying everything now.
Oh, you're right.
But I want y'all to know I appreciate y'all coming to my crib.
All right. Thanks for having us.
Always good to come into Slick Money's Mind. My dog's going to walk y'all out. So I hope we, and I'm sure we should, if we'd have more females on the panel, it would be a little bit more deeper.
They can write in.
They can write
what,
in.
That's what comments. Our Facebook page is for. That's what the email's for.
Exactly.
Yeah, write me on my Facebook page.
That you don't even know how to use yet? Talking about you message somebody.
What's your Facebook name?
What's my Facebook name?
You don't even know.
Get a white woman.
What? Ski wings? Boy, stop. Sit down somewhere.
SU in the building. Georgia Tech in the building.
Boy, y'all CAUA in the building.
Man, God is good, isn't he?
Yeah.
You can't tell me God don't listen to this show.
Man, God has been with us from day one. Are you kidding me right now?
What? God, when he go on vacation, how he take his recorder and listen to the show.
Yeah.
All right, man, we got that. We made it to the I Hate It When.
Oh, we did? I thought we was about to skip it.
Listen, this is our show. We're going to do it like we want to do it.
That's what's
if
up.
If we go three
Boom.
Hours, we just go 3 hours. What the hell?
What's up? Walmart in the building.
Yes, sir. And did Janet tell you she has a leadership team that she's the head of also?
Really?
That's why she can school us so well.
God, she's smart.
Man, yes, Janet is smart. Baby, she is beyond smart. What's the next word?
Hey, did I hear her?
Priceless.
Didn't I hear her mention information technology?
She did.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well,
she did say that?
I'll talk to her after
so,
the show.
So, Tiffany, you said you can become friends with her?
Oh, hey, yeah, Janet, that's about to be my new homie.
Hold on. Time out, y'all. You know I be just entertaining America when I talk about my
extracurricular activities.
My extracurricular.
Hey, I know, Harvey, before you go, Tiff, if you become friends with Janice, can you put a good word in for me?
I talk to her. I try to get you in there.
What would you tell her about me?
I can't tell you that.
Really?
Because,
alumni, they kind of listen to one another.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do me wrong.
I got your back now.
Because Jesus is listening to you.
You know I got love. You know I won't do you wrong.
Okay, good.
Now.
Thank you, man.
You
know,
all right, so we're about to do I Hate It When.
I Hate It When.
And if y'all know, y'all listen to the show. We do I Hate It When, and I'm going to go first. If y'all want to come up and do I Hate It When, they shy?
Maybe they are. We always
know,
shy.
I know it's some I Hate It Wins in the corporate world. But here's my I Hate It When. I'm going to start this thing off. I hate it when. You think about the last one. I hate it when. Church folks cuss you out in the parking lot. They want to hug on you in church. Yeah.
That's pretty messed up.
But it happens.
It does.
Every day.
Every Sunday, they shooting birds. They cutting you off.
Don't take that parking spot.
Oh, my God. I park next to the pastor every week.
Yeah.
Really?
Or don't sit in that third seat in that cubicle. I mean, on that pew. That third seat on that pew, that's for Sister So-and-so.
All right, Sidney, what you got, man?
Wow. I hate it when you owe somebody some money, they sure know how to find you. I don't care if it's the IRS, your cousin Junebug, whoever you owe can find you. But when they owe you, you cannot find them nowhere. They must have left the country. You cannot tell me everybody in this room ain't experienced that. When you owe somebody, they know where every move you at.
Yeah. That's true.
You go to the gas station, hey, I ain't seen you in a while.
How you been?
Yeah.
You got paid this week?
You had the golf cart. Hey, man, you want to get that for you? But when they owe you, you can't find them. That's when I hate it when, Tiffany. It's on you.
You just made me lose my train of thought. Okay, wait, where was I? Okay. Wait, oh, I just lost it. Go ahead, Hancock. Come. You just made me lose
my
train of thought.
We'll come back around.
All right. I'm sorry, Tiffany.
I don't have a good one like I had that last one. Let's see.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
No, you got it. I just got my thought back.
Okay, let Tiffany go see.
I hate it when people talk to me too damn close.
Personal space.
I promise I can hear you if you just keep your distance.
You don't want to feel their breath on you?
Nah, I won't feel it.
Noted. Personal space. All right, I'm back. I got it. I hate it when, since yesterday was April Fool's Day, I hate it when people want to try to play April Fool's jokes when you lie on a daily basis anyway. Like, you are not, like, you just have no, you're April Fool's, you just have no just cause because you lie every day. So why are you lying? You might as well tell the truth on April Fool's.
Every day is April Fool's.
You're a $365 April Fool.
Yeah, yeah.
You ain't fooled nobody on April Fool's.
Nobody.
Right. You should just tell
I
the truth.
I knew you were going to say that.
Just tell the truth that day and then people would be like, oh, for real?
Yeah. For real? D, we are coming with a strong brother.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead, man.
You already know.
We.
Miss Janice, close your ears.
He talking about weed. Somebody stole the weed.
Hey, I hate it when I'm smoking on some Girl Scout cookies or some bubble kush or something. And I'm smoke, and then somebody come around and they try to match me a blunt of Reggie. Like, where they do that at?
Hold on. I know this is your hated win. I know it is.
Oh my gosh.
But damn, do you have to get that high? That they got different. It's some high out there that I would be scared of. Reggie, some Girl Scout cookies.
And what you say, the bubble? What?
The bubble kush. That sound like I might not ever come down. I'm scared of that. I don't want to get that high. Hey. I just want to get table high.
Well, hey,
I want to get
well
Jesus
I'm
high.
I'm gonna let you go over there with the Reggie.
Yeah, I would. Reggie, keep me with Larry. One of them, yeah. Boy,
Reggie Miller.
That's just like that Bobby Brown.
Yeah, that Bobby Brown, Reggie Miller, same thing.
Same thing. Okay.
Yeah, mid grade.
Oh my God.
That loud off the chain.
That's what I'm saying. See, that's that bubble cook. That gas. Don't match me no blunt or no Reggie.
Oh, that's hilarious, man. Tiffy had to run off that mic off that.
Yeah, I started choking today.
y'all crazy, man.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, sir. Another episode, baby. We're doing the shout outs. Want to shout out my new car wash.
Oh.
Simon is. Shout out to my main man, Joel, over there.
What's up, Joel?
And Anurella. I think that's her name.
Amberella.
Anurella.
Anurella. What a name.
Anurella.
Yes. Shout out to Simonez over there at La Vista.
Amarella.
They open 7 days a week, 8 to 6. Go over there and get that baby clean. Because, babe, I like to ride clean. So all y'all boys in the summertime, in the spring, I know y'all trying to ride clean, so go to Simonez, baby.
Yeah.
Got a shout out to Janice Moore.
What's up, Janice?
My new best friend, Janice. Yeah.
What's up,
Janice?
Janice in the building.
Yes,
my future wife, baby.
Shout out to Teresa Kearse.
What's up, Teresa?
Teresa, loyal listener.
Loyal listener.
Fine woman sitting at the car wash.
Yes, sir. Shouting it out.
Get you one of them. Get you one of them.
All right, those are, shout out to all the lawyer listeners. Of course, got to stay repping them lawyer listeners. Appreciate everybody doing their thing every week.
That's what's up.
How we do it. D. Willis on you, baby.
Yeah, I got a good one this week, man. Of course, I'm going to give my regular shout outs to the 334, man, my homeboys, K9 gang. But y'all always hear me say R.I.P. Dobie. He was a local rapper in Montgomery who died. Man, his album just came out on Grand Hustle yesterday, man. D-O-A-T-3, Diary of a Trapper 3, man. Go buy the album. Support the man. Buy it at the store. Don't bootleg it. Don't burn it, man. Go buy it. Support him. He died for a cause that was not worthy. So, you know, we want to keep it real and keep it street, man. R.I.P. Dobie. Go buy it.
Yes, all right, folks.
Yeah, shout out to Memphis 901 from me, Slick, and Horace.
That's what's up.
Tiff and my man D-Will can't be in, and we Heavy Structured Incorporated.
Yes, sir.
Holla back.
You know me, folk.
Let me give a shout out to my number one groupie, Mr. Big D Holland. My number one fan, Mr. Paul Too Tall Potter. All the ladies that support the SRT show. My boy Eric Gatson. My boy Mr. McGee, Darren Brown. Mr. Professor JT Turner. My girl Ty Ty. And my new homie Janice.
Janice getting shout out all across the country.
All across the country.
Is it on Slick Money?
It's on you, baby.
Shout out to Terry from Michigan with a great, great question about black and white. Go get you a white man. Get you a black man. Get you a white sister. Get you a black sister because God created all of us. Shout out to all the love, to all the wonderful people across the country, to my new family out in Montrose, Colorado.
Should have played We Are the World.
Yeah, we are family. Shout out to Maddie in the building. Shout out to our lovely guests.
Maddie.
And shout out to Walmart.
Shout out to Walmart, the greatest store God ever created. Trust me when I tell you it's a great store. And it's my sole sponsor, the SRT crew and Slick Money Show coming in June. You're going to see the Walmart sign, the truck parked out front. And I'm telling them, I'm giving away free groceries, Steve, gift cards to everybody I see because I love me some Walmart. Because I'm going to get me a woman.
Wally World?
I'm going to get me a white woman Walmart. Woo! They got them in the fruit section. And I'm coming to get them, Harvey. Thank you so much. Best man, best friend, everybody. What's up? Thank you so much. God and Jesus is good. Find your church home.
Yes, sir.
You got it, Harvey.
All right, man. Again, we got to thank Janice for stopping by, bringing that Walmart enlightenment. We hope that everybody who listened to this episode have learned something.
For real.
Use my email address, hm3inc@gmail.com. If you're looking for a job, email me, especially the kids. Maybe we ought to start some recruiting kids, finding a school to recruit some kids from and just take it from there. Just SRT Walmart, just laying the bed together and create havoc. That's what we're trying to do. So for all the loyal listeners from the SRT show, baby, we about to hit it.
Boogie! I'm headed home, baby.
The Jeweler Sports is leaving the building.
Slick Money, let me get it for the girls. Get it. See y'all next week. Thanks.
Bama!
Yes, sir. And my shout out always, BC, you see what you've been doing up there. I see you working your thing. Thanks to BC. I love you, baby.
BC looking out for us.
Yes, sir. BC looking out.
Appreciate it.
From SRT, HM3 Inc., SRT, episode 31. It's in the books, and we out.
See ya.
God is good.